You're listening to Pushing the Envelope, Life at the Cutting Edge of Customs Innovation. I'm Tom Muller with the Cross Border Research Association. On this show, we explore the frontiers of customs creativity in conversations with customs and logistics experts, technology innovators, research scientists, and other leaders in the field. Industry insiders call this show the PenCast because it's part of PenCP, a network for boosting customs innovation funded by the European Union under the Horizon 2020 program. Today, I'm speaking with Professor José Luis Pérez Díaz, a professor in mechanical engineering at the Universidad de Alcalá and coordinator of Melchior, a Horizon 2020 funded project that aims to detect rapidly drugs, explosives, weapons, and illicit goods that people have concealed on or inside themselves using a range of novel and non-contact technologies. This is a little different from our usual conversation on the PenCast, which normally features aspects of the PenCP project, but I think the clear parallels between the two projects and their shared aim to enhance customs innovation through novel technologies will make this conversation very much on point for the PenCast as well. Professor Pérez Díaz, thank you very much for joining me on the show today.
Welcome. It's my pleasure to be here.
Could you tell us a bit about yourself and your university and your background in EU framework program projects?
Well, I'm the full professor of mechanical engineering in University of Alcalá. University of Alcalá is, let's say quite ancient because it was founded in 1498 by Cardinal Cisneros. And essentially, this university has been evolving during these centuries, but it was up to the last 10 years that we have mechanical engineering in this university. So it's really a new discipline in this ancient university. And I'm proud of being the first full professor in this area. And we have been working during the last years in different security projects. Well, projects related with space, projects related with nanotechnologies, projects related with CBRN and the contamination, like the Counterfeit project that was awarded last year as the best project in security by the DG Home. And that has led to the foundation and or corporation of spin-off company. And quite recently, the Mesmerize project, and after that Mesmerize project, this Melchior project related to border security and detection of items.
I see. And Melchior started last September, is that correct?
Correct. We started last September, and it will last for 3 years.
If 10 years ago, mechanical engineering didn't exist at your university, it sounds like you're in the enviable position of, or difficult position of, creating your own workspace.
Well, it's a sort of opportunity because indeed you are free to select what are the most interesting or the most exciting fields where you can apply all kind of multidisciplinary knowledge. In fact, I'm a physicist and also mechanical engineer, so I try to get the best from the, let's say, the interfaces between different disciplines, and also in these projects, I try to engage and to involve all kind of colleagues from, for instance, from the health and medicine faculty, or from the or biologist, or different disciplines that may join and that are really fruitful.
So interdisciplinary work and bringing different fields together in creative ways is part of a central part of what you do at the university, but I would imagine also a central part of what you need to do in these EU-funded projects. Is that correct?
Absolutely. That's something that it's the most interesting aspect of this project, because you join all kind of partners from different countries with coming from different disciplines, and when you merge all together and mix it them very well, the result is something that I think is really really, really productive. I mean, for instance, in Melchior, we have the Technology University of Munich and the University of Galati from Romania, that they are both experts in acoustics and in, let's say, in sound scattering. We have experts from Microflow in sensors, in acoustic sensors. We have the guys from San Jorge Tecnológicas that are experts in creating prototypes from scratch and mechatronic devices. We have experts in artificial intelligence. We have, our end users and the CBRA Association that are really providing not just that they are going to test the devices, but they are providing their needs and providing their point of view and providing useful points of, aspects or points of not just view, but also, issues that may arise or how the procedures apply or how they would be improved or not. And that's something that it's really interesting. We have also on board experts on terahertz, like the CEA in France or in millimeter waves from the University of Oviedo in Spain as well. And we have experts in MICAM, that is a small company from Ireland, that they are experts in anti-blast construction and anti-blast devices. We have the INTA, that is the research center from the Ministry of Defense in Spain, where they have the facilities to test this anti-blast capability, and they are going also to test the efficiency of the device. Mm-hmm. So as you can see, there are a lot of different abilities, capacities, and backgrounds that really are quite fruitful when you merge all together and create this sort of team.
Sounds like a lot of fun to put this team together. It also sounds like a major challenge to manage a team of this disparate abilities, different aims and missions. What is that job like? What does it require?
Sometimes it's like you have to take your stick and start showing that everything has to be done in time and so on. But most of the time, what is it's just to translate the language from one to the other and to translate how the needs of ones have to be transformed into prescriptions for the engineers or vice versa. How the what is really feasible and what is unfeasible and can be translated to the end users and to explain them what can be done and what cannot be done. And this is the kind of work that the coordinator has to do. It's like an orchestra conductor, more or less.
That's a very good analogy, keeping all the different sections of the orchestra playing the same music, but allowing enough creativity to reach, the outcomes that they're after.
And synchronize that it's not easy because, sometimes there are problems, let's say, with procurement of a particular component that, there is not a supply line. Now we have many problems with that kind of the supply lines and or probably delays with some other task or just the ethics requirements that are quite important to fulfill them and to get all the permits and all the kind of authorizations. And as I said, it's like an orchestra. You have to keep all in time and harmonically conducted.
But in this particular case, you have a lot of a very big and a very diverse orchestra to conduct.
All kind of instruments.
Yes, exactly. And literal and physical and metaphorical instruments. Let's take a couple steps back. Could you describe the basic aims of Melchior? What does Melchior stand for?
Yeah. Well, Melchior is a technology that its purpose is to develop, multiple detection technology. But basically, It's based on the use of infrasound. You know, the idea is to avoid a pat down. When you pat down somebody, essentially you are touching touching him or her, and that is inconvenient. It's unpleasant, absolutely unpleasant for both the officer and for the inspected person, because it's your intimacy is compromised. So the idea is to prevent that pat down, or to minimize the number of cases in which that pat down is eventually needed, and that is using the same principle of the patting down. When you pat down somebody, essentially you are measuring with your fingers. You are measuring is, let's say, if the contact is soft or hard, or let's say the stiffness or what you are touching. It's like the mechanical properties of what you are touching and you are proving. And you find something hard and rigid, let's say that you will say, oh, there is something, there is an object here. Or if you find something like soft powder, you would say, oh, this is not a human body. This is not a normal human body. But if you touch a human body, you distinguish it. So the idea is to do it with sound, with vibrations, with waves that propagate and are scattered by the human body. And from the reflection or scatter waves, we get the information to distinguish, let's say, the same kind of information that you distinguish when you are patting down. It's a sort of non-contact patting down. We can say that essentially that's the idea. This would be complemented improved with the use of millimeter wave or terahertz at particular sites or critical positions, or just to improve the reliability or the efficiency of the system.
I see. So in very, very simple layman's terms, you're creating models of what the quote-unquote normal human body looks like from an acoustic propagation point of view, and then so that you can then determine anomalies at various points in that body that might signal the presence of illicit materials, explosives.
Yeah. Let's say that we sound different if we have items on us than if we don't have. It's like a bell. If you attach something to a bell, it doesn't sound in the same way. In the human body, it's exactly the same case. You doesn't sound in the same way.
Oh, that's a fascinating analogy. So in a sense, you're sounding the human body like a bell, and if something's attached to it, it's not going to produce the same end result.
Yeah. We could say that it doesn't sound to a human being. It sounds to something else.
That's right. And the challenge, if you're going to do it in real time or as swiftly as possible, is to have the nature and the location of the anomaly identified as quickly as possible. Is that correct?
Yeah. Well, not exactly the position, but the region where it may be. Let's say we can say maybe legs or trunk or arms or whatever, not exactly the position, because there is a limitation in the because of the wavelength of the sound. But let's say this is not scanning. We are not creating any image of the person, so it's completely respectful with the intimacy. That's an important point, because we are respecting the intimacy of the person, not only because we are not touching them, but also because we are not creating any explicit image of the person. But the idea is that they sound different. If you have something attached, you have an explosive, a belt of explosives attached to you, you sound different than if you are just with clothes or something normal.
And if the is the aim also to narrow down quickly the types of anomalies? I mean, there's obviously a different sound from drugs to explosives to a weapon to is that a database of different
more or less. Let's say that you would know if there is something heavy and metallic or something like powder. You will not be able to distinguish if that powder is flour or it's cocaine. But indeed, there are no not many people concealing flour under the clothes.
You've talked about testing. I understand that a predecessor project that you worked on to Melchior, Mesmerize, involved some interesting testing protocols for the concealment of illicit materials in body cavities. Is that right? Could you tell me a bit about that?
Yeah. In Mesmerize, we developed two different technologies. One was a technology for X-ray transmission scattering with an ultra-low dose and getting information from the, let's say, the spectral range of absorption of this X-ray. It enabled the possibility of using a dose of ionizing radiation that was, let's say, like that of that you get in 15 minutes of flying in a normal flight. You know that you get radiation from the cosmic rays, and the dose was quite similar to that. And with that, we tested it with pig carcasses and with human corpses to see what were the sensitivity for detection of drug balls in the intestine and the stomach and all the digestive tract.
So using surgery, you concealed simulated drug balls. I presume you didn't get the real real thing. In the digestive tract of pig carcasses and of human cadavers, is that right?
Yeah, correct. And it was they were used for the experimental validation of the sensitivity, and we could demonstrate that the use of this spectral information and with this very low dose enabled us to detect even one or two balls in the digestive tract. That is really quite a very good sensitivity. And the other technology that was developed in Mesmerize was this infrasound technique, and was based on the use of sound. There is no ionizing radiation. There is nothing harmful because, let's say, it's a sound. And we demonstrated that the scattering of this low frequency sound in a particular way was or could be useful for the detection of concealed items behind the clothes. So even if you have a thick cloth, the low frequency sound penetrates up to your skin, and the reaction of the skin is different from the reaction of, let's say, a belt of any material, or if you carry a gun or things like that.
Why did you use pig carcasses? Why didn't you just use live pigs?
Yeah, because they chew everything. So they are wiser than humans. Let's say that to swallow a dragon ball is something really risky. Sure. In fact, there are many cases of people that become intoxicated and eventually die because of breaking one of these balls that are really, really a serious risk for their health. So, in fact, a pig chews everything, so you cannot make them to swallow a ball to simulate what the smugglers do with these balls.
I see. So pigs are more intelligent, and they would be very lousy drug mules, as it were.
For sure, they would reject to be guinea pigs.
Yeah. This concludes the first half of my Pencast conversation with José Luis Pérez Díez, professor of mechanical engineering at the University of Alcalá. Tune in next time for the second half of our talk about his fascinating work with Melchior, Mesmerize, and other EU-funded Horizon projects.